Welcome to Organic Outlets, a podcast where we discuss tough-ass topics relating to dating, self-worth, and creating healthier habits for our lifestyles. I'm Faith, your host. Happy Monday, y'all. Now, being that this Sunday makes 14 years that my mom has been gone, I thought it would actually be fitting to talk about grief and the five stages of grief. Honestly, looking back, I never realized how much my mom's death would have affected me later down the road, you know, because I was just so young when she passed. You know, I think that some days, you know, even feel harder than others, and I can't explain why. You know, like, there are just days where I just don't know how to vocalize or open up about this kind of pain. You know, because I don't have many people around me who truly understand this kind of loss that I took so young. And even now as a young woman, you know, there's just so many people who miss the essence of what having your mom or even a loved one around, you know, and in those primal years that are missed, that you have to tend to learn and lean, you know, to what's current and what's to come next. You know, I think that me not having my mom for a duration of 14 years has been a struggle. You know, it has not been easy at all. And I think that a lot of people bypass that. You know, I think that even sometimes it's hard to navigate the relationships that I have with my peers and my other family members, you know, because having your mom as a woman is something that is so primal, something that is so, you know, essential to a woman's growth, especially a Black woman. So imagine not having your matriarch or the person in your life who is supposed to teach you about love and teach you about general grooming and teach you about womanhood and, you know, so many other things. I think that sometimes people forget that I have been doing this long journey of becoming a young woman for so long. And I think that people forget how taxing it is on me. You know, I think that it really is very hard to deal with and even explain to some people without them looking like or feeling like that I'm complaining or feeling like I'm just not trying to take up for my own responsibilities or whatever that case may be. You know, I just think that as a woman, you know, even in this year, I have made it a dedication to myself to honor my femininity and honor when I need help and honor my emotions when I feel like I'm lacking somewhere. And for me, not having my mom and then shortly after losing my grandmothers, you know, was something that I could not explain. You know, I had to literally adapt at a very young age and grow up very, very fast, you know. Oftentimes, I grew up with a lot of people around me mistaking me for being too mature or too grown, per se, you know, because I had to make a lot of the decisions that I made as a young child up until this point for myself at a very young age. A lot of the decisions and things that I was doing or things that people are just now getting experience to or, you know, being open up to life with having strict parents or having both of their parents or even if their parents were both not present in the household, just having both of them around, that structure of who knowing both sides was a little hard for me to navigate. You know, I think that even then and even now as I think about it, I think that the hardest part for me within this journey is I still, for some reason, have found out new information about my mother as I've gotten older, year by year. You know, things that could have been essential to my growth, could have been primal to my growth, could have helped me catapult me in a way of different type of understanding that I couldn't understand. You know, there have been so many different experiences that I had that I could only imagine that if I had my mom to coach me through these things or walk me through these things and not find out that she went through these things after I went through these things, that would make them seem so much lighter, right? But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't get easier. You know, I found myself today extremely sad because of the things that I couldn't change about my mother's death. You know, things I wish I knew, things I wish she was here for, and things that are still to come on my journey that I wish she'd be able to experience with me. From my mom didn't get to see me or hear about my first kiss or hear about my first heartbreak, or my mom wasn't around to see me get my first car or take my first test, my learner's test, and drive a new car off the lot or something, you know, or go from training bras to padded bras, or go from, you know, not wearing makeup at all to trying makeup. Every single experience that I had thus far without my mom has been a journey, you know. And even just tearing up thinking about it, you know, I had to literally learn so many of the things that I know now as a woman from the culture, from YouTube, from word of mouth, you know. And it's a different type of relationship that you have with your mom that you cannot buy, you know. And I just think that even for me down the line, you know, when I think about being a mom one day, I think about these being my primal years to take care of myself so that I don't ever have to let my child experience that level of pain, that level of, you know, just uncertainty and trying to figure out life's, you know, just life's ups and downs. And I'm not saying that my mom didn't take care of herself or the things that, you know, led up to my mother's death, especially being that she passed away from breast cancer. Some things are just not reversible, you know. And even for me, man, you know, this type of pain I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. You know, imagine growing up with all your friends who have moms and, you know, being around them and seeing their moms pack their lunches or go on dates with their moms or, you know, have tea parties with their moms. You know, for me as a child, I had to kind of get in where I fit in, you know, a lot of times. And it always seemed like something was missing, or like I was the black sheep or an outsider from my peers. You know, because we just couldn't relate on that level. And I definitely used to feel extremely awkward all the time, you know, not having my mom and not being able to explain that as a child to other people, you know. Now, though my relationship with my father wasn't the best, you know, I can say I was blessed enough to have aunts and other matriarchs in my family to make up for that, you know. But it still felt like something was always missing for me, you know. And even as a young woman now, and as I'm still discovering and understanding who I am becoming as a woman, at times I just want to say, fuck all this shit, you know, because I literally cannot explain how hard it is to other people, the void that I experience from this type of pain, you know, and the questions that I still have to this day, you know, for my mom that I'll never be able to get answered, you know. If you have your mom, genuinely cherish her because you only get one. The amount of questions about womanhood that I had to Google or learn from YouTube or learn from my other friends' moms or from my aunts or different things like that, even though I know that these women poured into me in the most genuine ways that they could, it still always, to me, in my mind, felt like something was missing. Like, I should have been sharing this moment with my mom. I should have been learning this information from my mom. And sometimes it's very hard to explain that to people who love you and who want to give you, who want to, you know, make up for that lost time. How do I explain that to those people and say, in a way, I'm appreciative for you stepping up in my mom's absence, but I also can't fully accept this because of the fact of the matter that you're not my mom, you know? And grief is not linear. You know, my mom passed away 14 years ago. And I think that in these 14 years, in through the five stages of grief for myself, I'm literally barely at the fifth stage, you guys. You know, things like this are not something that are easily processed, especially for me. You know, I think that especially as I actually took the time to really kind of go back and re-educate myself on the five stages of grief, you know, because I was educated on it, you know, when my mom first died, and, you know, just those counselings, sessions and therapists and different things like that. When something like this happens, it actually brought me to the conclusion that I have not fully accepted this. You know, I have not fully went through all of the stages of grief, you know. Well, I've pretty much been through majority of them, but my lack of understanding at that time, or even understanding now, was something that was really eye-opening to me. So what are the five stages of grief? So in order, the five stages of grief is denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And they're often talked about as if they happen in order, moving from one stage to the other. And you might hear people say things like, oh, I've moved on from denial and now I think I'm entering the angry stage. But this isn't often the case, you know. And I can speak from experience with this as well. You know, denial is the first stage initially, if we're talking in order. Denial is feeling numb. You know, it's very common in the early days of grief, you know, and in your bereavement. You know, some people at first carry on as if nothing had happened at all, you know. Even if we know our heads, you know, in our minds, in our souls, that someone has died, it can be very hard to believe that someone important is not coming back, you know. Something like that is very hard. And I think that even for me as a young girl, I used that stage of my denial with isolation. You know, my mom died very young, and at a young age, I became very shut off to my emotions. And oftentimes, you know, I was a very self-sufficient kid. You know, I was one of the kids that liked to play to themselves, like to, you know, be to themselves. And even as a young woman now, I even cringe at the thought of being somewhere for too long if I don't have that, you know, room to breathe, because that is something that I created for myself at such a young age during that process that it seems almost unfamiliar. It takes me out of my structure and my comfortability when I don't have room to isolate, if that makes sense. Man, the second stage is called anger. Now, anger is completely natural. It's a natural emotion, and it's very natural after someone dies. I mean, death can seem cruel and unfair, but especially when you feel someone has died before their time or had plans for the future. I mean, if you have plans for the future together, even then, it's very common to feel anger after someone dies. And it's also common to feel angry towards the person who has died, or angry at ourselves for things we didn't or did not do before their death. And I think that, oh, Lord, boy, did me and my dad fight when I was in my teens. I mean, we just couldn't understand each other and what we were going through. And honestly, being able to process such a major loss for each other, it was very taxing on our relationship. You know, I look back now and I decide to give my dad grace, you know, just for the lack of understanding he had on raising a young woman. You know, I know it was no easy task looking back at it now, but even then, my anger phase turned me into a rebel. You know, I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I often resented my dad for the things he didn't know about women. You know, I often, you know, I can remember when my dad sent me to live with my aunt for after my mom died. And though I brought the idea towards my dad when he let me go on a trip with my aunt, I didn't think my dad was going to be so willing to let me go and live with my aunt. But looking back, obviously it seems suitable because he's a man. He didn't know anything about raising a young woman or about cycles and breasts and different things like that. But I can remember going through that phase of being so angry with my dad while living with my aunt, which is his sister. You know, I literally used to feel anger in my heart that my dad would allow me to literally live so far away from him and from him being my nurture pack, if that makes sense, and allowing me to be cut off from that. You know, why would you be so willing to let me go? And that anger, you know, kind of transpired into me kind of being rebellious. And I don't mean just in a rebellious way of doing, like, you know, typically most women, if they're angry about certain things or being rebels as a young age, they're doing whole things or doing burnt out activity. But that was something that my brothers and my dad, you know, did not allow me to do. You know, they kind of had me in a gun hold, you know, lockdown when it came down to being able to do stuff like that. But when I mean rebel, I mean I was into substances, I was into drugs, I was into, you know, just music and staying out late and dealing with older friends and not really having that structure or that guidance there to kind of really tame the beast that I was becoming in that time frame. You know, my anger kind of took a toll on me for the worst, and I ended up making some terrible decisions in that phase. You know, I ended up getting in a lot of trouble, I ended up making some mistakes, and even some of the mistakes that I made I'm paying for as a young adult now. So definitely look back, and when I look back at those moments, I just can't do anything but reflect and think about my emotions during those times and why I was truly doing that. And in reality, that anger was genuinely just coming from wanting my dad to really notice my pain and really notice the love and the nurturing and the emotions that I needed from him at that time that he wasn't giving me while I was hurting. So, boy, that was definitely a time. The third phase is called bargaining. Now, bargaining is when we are in pain, it's sometimes hard to accept that there's nothing we can do to change things. You know, bargaining is when we start to make deals with ourselves or perhaps with God that we want to believe that if we act in particular ways, we will feel better. And it's also common to find ourselves going over and over things that happened in the past and asking a lot of what if questions, wishing we could go back and change things in hope that things could have turned out differently. And I honestly had to realize that when I was coming into my young womanhood, when I started to think about all of the things that I was learning about health, all of the things that I was learning about insurance, all of the things that now within our society, that with cancer and people going vegan and people doing all these things, you know, to change their health. And I just remember thinking about all of the things that I wish I could have done for my mom as a young adult now with all of these resources that were not available to us in 2008. In 2008, I was 10 years old, and now I'm 24 years old with all of these different resources and all of these different avenues and vegan diets and people who are going to other countries to literally heal cancer. And I can't do anything but feel upset sometimes about the whole idea that, you know, I had to realize at one point during this stage that my mom was never going to come back and there was nothing that I could do about it. You know, I can't be an honor roll student or be nice to my dad for a little and think that if I did all these things that God would make me feel better or show me my mom or bring her back to me. I had to stop bargaining those thoughts that she was going to return if I was going to do these things, or, you know, if the amount of information that I knew would change it around, or if I could just go to the cemetery and revive her. And these different things were things that I experienced at one point in time or another, and it really affected my mental health going forward because I used to often resent the idea of, being that I also had, you know, two older brothers, you know, just thinking about
that time frame as compared to where we are now. You know, my brothers were around my age in 2008 when my mom passed away, and the amount of resources that we have now in 2022 compared to 2008, you know, I'm pretty sure they would have been able to lead my mom down a better path or find better resources. But at that time, things were different, and it's 14 years later, and there's literally nothing that we could do that is going to change that. Now, number four is depression. Sadness and longing are what we think of most often when we think about grief. This pain can be very intense and come in waves over many months or years. Life can feel like life can genuinely feel like it no longer holds meaning. You know, which can be very scary for some people. And for me, I'd be lying if I didn't say that I wasn't still in this stage right now. You know, for so long, I have tried to conceal my pain about the loss of my mother, that when times of distress come around for me and I find myself really stressed or crying or under a lot of pressure, you know, I often find myself crying for her and wishing I knew what she'd say to me when these things are happening, or what she'd think about me during these times. And, you know, even in my young adulthood and still figuring out the woman that I am becoming and aspiring to be, I think that that has been a very tough journey and tough cookie for me to swallow, is that, you know, there have been oftentimes in this period that I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know where God was taking me. I didn't know where I was taking myself. And not having that guidance from your mother, and that grief and that pain of not having that structure and that direction, you know, from a matriarch or a patriarch in your family, can be very taxing to your mental, and it can lead you to be very depressed. You know, I would often find myself crying for her and wishing that I knew what she'd say to me and how I could get through these situations. But it has lasted over for a very long time for me. And honestly, I don't think this stage truly kicked in until I was really on my own in the world. You know, I honestly have been on my own for about 4 years now. And, you know, I had to really realize that when people were able to call their moms and I wasn't, and I had to literally rely on faith, and I had to literally rely on book text or blogs or YouTubes or, you know, friend support and their parent support, that was something that really opened my eyes to me being depressed about something that I could not change. And it was something that was eating at my mental health day by day. And the last step is acceptance. Now, being that grief comes in waves, it can feel like nothing will ever be right again, you know? But gradually, most people find that the pain eases and it's possible to accept what has happened. You know, we may never get over the death of our mom or our grandmothers or our grandfathers or our great uncles or a good friend, but we can learn to live again. And while keeping the memories of those we have to keep those close to us and keep it in reminder that these people would not have been present, or you would not have been present, if these people didn't make their mark on this world. Now, I haven't fully accepted this stage. You know, as I said, I think that I'm still kind of dealing with my up and down, tipsy-turvy of my depression with that. But I'm aware of it, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to pick a fight with God behind it sometimes. I mean, let's be real. Everyone is different, and a young woman at such a young age with still so much to learn, I often resented what was happening at that time. You know, do I accept that my mom is no longer struggling or fighting for her life on chemo and oxygen tanks and getting her breast amputated? Do I accept that she's no longer struggling? Of course, yes, I'd never want to see my mom like that. Do I accept the fact that there's nothing I can do to change that she's gone? Yes. But to this day, I still struggle with asking God, why did it have to be me? You know? Why did I have to be the person to be the bearer of holding all of this weight and this strength and, you know, be the person that can handle all of this pain and get through these things? But then again, I also think about the whole idea that if I didn't go through these things, I wouldn't be on this podcast right now. I wouldn't be able to reflect in these ways with you all so that you guys can, you know, really see where I'm coming from and feel what I'm feeling, you know? Whew. Lord. I shed some tears in this episode. This was definitely a tough episode because I was very emotional before the episode. And I thought it was fitting, and seeing that I will be MIA, you know, from all of my socials for the remainder of the month until I kind of get through with this transition, except for my podcast, I had to share what I'm experiencing, because as I've always said to you guys, it's all about authenticity over here. It's all about what we're going through and our day-to-day struggles and how I can be of most relatability to you guys. You know, I hope that this puts things into perspective for you in the relationship that you have with a close loved one, a matriarch, your mom, your father, anybody that's in your life. You know, as I said before, you only get one. You only get one mom. You only get one dad. You only get one of your siblings that's in particular to you that get on your freaking nerves. You only get one of those people who mean the most to you. So treat them like they are. Treat them like they're who they exactly are. Because I know that if my mom was still present to this day, I'd treat her like the queen she is. So cherish your mom. Cherish the people that are around you. Not a day goes by that I wish that my mom was still here. That I wish that I didn't have to reflect on this moment around the same time every single year. And I don't have to replay, you know, the things that took place when my mom died. You know, so I genuinely, genuinely hope that this podcast suits you. And it makes you hug your mom a little tighter. It makes you realize that people are really going through different things without saying a thing at all. So, that being said, y'all, peace.